Thank you. The second is that of working with rural communities. Alison has been somewhat heroic in going out to parish council meetings, which I've managed to completely avoid so far, as I fully intend to do, to actually explain what we're actually doing in this area and why it very much fits in with the aspirations of the parish councils to actually see their own residents able to afford to live in their communities where they come from. The third area is that of adaptation to the disabled facilities grant. And at that level, we work with other councils in Leicestershire through the LIFOL project. Next is empty homes. And I know a lot of you have come across the officer who's responsible for that, who either does an excellent job, meets the target. And what we're actually doing now is identifying empty homes in Charnwood and actually getting them back into use, either being sold or rented out. So we're pretty well in. We're hitting the target of 50 homes per year. The next, which is slightly outside my area, it's one headed by the leader, is that of setting up a housing company with a view to build affordable houses, and we've had quite a few meetings to look at the options there. At our level, we're looking at our existing garage sites. Maybe you have garages in your own wards which may not be in a particularly good state, looking at those where there's a possibility of perhaps retaining both the garages that are used and actually building houses on those sites. Then we have our lettings service, which has now expanded to cover the whole of Leicestershire. Some of us actually have, we've got a nice CBC letting lanyard, which I would recommend you have to promote the service. And that, again, has so far been a very successful venture. And finally, that of our sleepers. Now, some of us went out on our annual survey of our sleepers, where we very rigorously go throughout Charnwood to find any rough sleepers. And again, this year, we only found three chaps who are up on spending the night up in Churchgate. And as with the majority of our rough sleepers, they don't actually want any help from Charnwood. But I think this is a very important exercise. And, next year, any councillors would like to take part, we leave after midnight and get in before breakfast. And it's a little bit more exciting than it sounds. It's also a very, very, very important function that we do. And it gives you a bit of insight into what it's like on a cold November morning out on the street. So those are the nine areas, Mr. Chair. And I'm certainly happy, as the Alison is, to take any specific questions.
If I could open up another question on that. You mentioned about providing housing in rural areas for people, say, in locality. Is there something through the ferry system as well that can work in tandem on that? Or is there something that can be looked at?
This is part of planning. This is, it's actually three. This is the actual number of people that we find on the street at a night that's chosen at random, it's not publicised in advance. And there are always people that could potentially be sleeping rough. And certainly, what I know from personal experience is during the summer, there are quite a few people who are out of jobs do set up a tent in Queen's Park or around the park. And I've made a point of every time I've come across somebody in that situation, speaking to them. Not all of them are prepared to reveal personal details, but those that do, I then get back to, in most cases, the bridge, just to check that we are aware of them and that we've spoken to them. And in the vast majority of cases, they've been given offers of either accommodation or help with their normal alcohol or drug problems. And it's at the end of the day, we can't physically force them. We can give them as many choices as possible. And sadder is, some of them actually prefer, that's their choice. And I love them not to do that. What I would also say is that some of the genuine ones who do live this lifestyle, they are quite angry when they see beggars in town. They say these beggars are not genuine rough sleepers, and they're always saying they're doing us a bad thing. But I have, and particularly where we've had particularly cold spells, I've actually gone out into the centre of Upper just to speak to them, as indeed a lot of other volunteers have done. And if we weren't looking after them, if we weren't going out to help them, then I would say we're doing something wrong. But I don't think there's more that can be done than what is being done. But sadly, there will be this problem.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Gerald, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. In short, effective eviction. Is there anyone there for them to go after the thing that we did, or did it reach out in the round? Something like that. Please.
Is anyone that's evicted and comes in to the council to receive council advice? An application was taken, and then we'll go through the process of looking at whether they're in private meeting, whether they're in temporary accommodation that night. The other aspect of going through the whole process with the new Homeless Reduction Act is 52 days when we try to come in. So if somebody, depending on where they are in the eviction process, if they've got a failure score, there's a possibility that we can assist them for the bridge hand, we signpost them to their services. I think it's a section 225 that prevents that eviction from going ahead. If you can, if it's ventures and you can provide some that can also reduce the ventures, or you can agree an agreement in relation to payments. If somebody does come and go through the eviction, you can't find them anywhere else to live, and you do need to provide some accommodation under the Act, they could then end up in the relief stage, which again is the same thing. Depends how far they've got in the eviction process. If they're out on the street, they've got the suitcase, then they're in the relief duty. And again, there's a 56-day period where we can work with people to assist them. But we then end up in the main duty, once we've gone through these 56 days, or it could be 112, depending on when they're coming forward to the council. It could be that depending on the reason for eviction, we might say that if they are eligible, they are homeless, they are required to leave, they're intentionally homeless, and therefore we don't have a duty providing accommodation. And at that point, if they are in temporary accommodation, during a period of time they need to move out and they have to find themselves accommodation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Mm-hmm.
I'm actually quite pleased here on page 43, item 9, where the actual Lightport service is still very active and coordinated with County Council, because that was one of the things that was set up many years ago, and the Council has put it possible to extend to 2024. I think that is more of a seems to work quite competitive now in conjunction with working less to County Council, but it was very
I think what now the process has been embedded, the benefits are you receiving all the benefits? So you've got a full house penalty that goes through every aspect. And what the officers do while they're there is looking around to see how people move around the house, and they could notice some treads on the stairs that could be dangerous. And again, work will be done with that. It could be that they're having trouble carrying their tray from the kitchen to the land and cup of tea, and we'll get them the trolleys and multiple equipment. So I think from the residents' perspective, it is a really good service, and the residents are benefiting from the partnership working.
And as a councillor, we benefit from all the information we're getting and back to us on it.
From feedback from residents and the case studies we've put together, residents are very happy and satisfied with the service being provided.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillor.
Plus.